from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's time for Dirt and Sprague.
I've never been on live television before, but apparently sometimes I don't watch the news.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Because I'm a kid, and apparently Grandpa just gives me a remote after we watch the Powerball.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
We'll probably sit around and cook some soups and eat bread and desserts and just get all fat and sassy.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, numero dos here on The Fan. Dirt and Spray, good morning. 7:03 a.m. Basketball coverage on The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use your savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. If you miss any of the hours of any show, you can always catch them at the podcast section of 1080 The Fan. We have a loaded second hour here. The Vancouver 4 text line's 503-864-6326. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them for more info at VancouverFord.com. We're on The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and YouTube. Good morning, YouTube.
Hello.
I put up a tweet now with Warren Sharp, who quoted the 12 best. He didn't go through the full ranking here because they're all spaced out. The 12 best quarterbacks according to the NFL's top 100. No Justin Herbert in the top 12 QBs according to the players who voted in the top 100. And at the Dirt Johnson says that is a mistake. He said he would take Herbert over five players on the list. Those five players are Tua, Dak, Purdy, Stroud, and Jalen Hurts. Do we agree at Dirt and Sprague?
This is going to be a political party vote here. If you wear green and yellow, you're going to vote yes. If you don't wear green and yellow, you're going to vote no. Because I get why people get tired of the Herbert stuff. It's a local guy that turned into an NFL quarterback. And
there's a lot of pressure on him to start. You've got to start ramping up these dubs, man.
There's a ton of pressure. I just chuckle at, like, what is important in terms of these votes? Is it winning playoff games? Is that what matters? And that's why he's not in there? Okay, then why is Tua in there? How many playoff wins does Tua have?
Zero.
Okay, zero. So yeah. This notion that he's a better quarterback because he had more passing yards than him last year. How many 5,000-yard passing seasons has Tua had in his career?
I don't know.
The answer to that is zero.
Okay.
Okay. What about
4,000 last year?
He was high 4,000. You want to go career passing yards? It's 17,000 to 12,000. You want to go career touchdowns in 4 years, by the way, same career.
Yep.
It's 114 to 81. Interceptions are about the same, and Tua's missed far more time with concussion issues in his career than Herbert has. Herbert missing games last year was the first time, I believe, in his entire career that he has ever missed a game. He's played through every other injury he's ever had, so it's not like injuries are a big concern. He's 5,000 yards greater through four seasons. That's almost a full season, a 5,000-yard season better than Tua. Like, what am I missing here? Tua last year had 29 touchdowns and 14 picks.
I mean, Tua was the passing yards leader in the NFL last year. A lot of this, again, as we cited, was reactionary stuff.
That's great.
Lamar was the MVP. I don't think he's better than Mahomes, no. But the players watched him. He was absolutely awesome last year.
This is why they shouldn't be allowed.
13-4.
This is why they shouldn't be allowed to vote for All-Star games. Take this power away from them. Don't let them pick the reserves. I'd have zero faith in them.
Are you going anti-new media?
I'm going anti-new media. Old media. I know more. I didn't play.
The white guy that's never played in the NFL should have the say, not the player.
I just find it funny how we have, like, some labels stick to guys and other labels don't. And C.J. Stroud winning a playoff game was massive. He also played Joe Flacco in a playoff game at home.
Yeah.
They went to Baltimore and they got obliterated.
But they won their division.
They did at 9-8.
Yeah.
They did at 9-8.
He was a rookie quarterback. Winning the division?
I'm not knocking C.J. Stroud.
Did you have him winning a playoff game last year?
Not in a million. I actually gambled heavily on the Browns in the wild card round.
Okay.
Because I'm an idiot.
Look, if you end up being right on Herbert Stroud, I'll give you all your flowers for that. I think it's a bit of a hot take, but I like that you did it. Dak, I understand. Tua, totally get it. Purdy is still a tough one for me. Like, I'm acknowledging that he's good. I also think, much kind of like Tua in a system, he's benefiting greatly from what's around him. But we'll see how this goes as he continues to age and get experience.
If Herbert was the quarterback of the Niners the last 3 years, do they have a Super Bowl?
I don't know.
I would vote yes on that.
They do. They beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
I think that they would, yeah. And I love Brock Purdy. I think Brock Purdy is an awesome story, and he's only getting better in the league. He's been in the NFL for 2 years.
Well, they don't win it last year because Herbert gets hurt. You can't play that game.
Yeah, the Niners offensive line, he's not getting hurt. Why don't you stick that in your pipe and smoke it, all right, buddy?
Yeah. Herbert won't have weapons this year.
How many of his starting wide receivers were playing in the second half of the year last year? Was Brandon Ayuk in the lineup? Was Debo Samuel in the lineup? Was George Kittle healthy? Was Christian McCaffrey healthy?
Side note, kayaking is a badass Olympic sport that I've never seen until right now.
I don't know that was even in the Olympics.
Dude, they drop like 7 feet off of the starting line into the water. That's incredible.
You got to go find some river somewhere, kayak down.
I think, unfortunately, it's not fence sitting because I think Herbert deserves to be on this list. I would also take some of these quarterbacks off the list to put Herbert on the list.
Yeah.
I also think there's a bit of a, you're wearing green and yellow right now. You're loud and proud.
I absolutely am.
But he's got a lot to prove, but I do think his numbers and his play are more deserving than being like left off the top.
Sure.
That's ridiculous.
Totally fair. He definitely has a lot to prove. Does Tua have a lot to prove? Or are we just settled? Does he not need to win a playoff game? Or are we just settled
Tua's
on that?
Tua's been paid. And when these guys get paid. No, what I was going to say is when these guys get paid, it continues to add to the lot to prove thing.
Okay.
So, yes, I think
so. If
Tua
he doesn't win a playoff game, we're going to have the same conversation about
him. It's going to get noisy.
And the pressure that mounts on him for not winning a playoff game. What if C.J. Stroud misses the playoffs? Are we going to do that to him next offseason?
Oh, yeah.
Pressure. Okay.
Don't we do this to all the guys?
I think we do, but I also.
What guys don't get this?
I think there's a handful of quarterbacks in the NFL that just kind of skate from time to time. And I feel like we do this in the NBA, where some guys get held to a certain standard and others don't.
You've derailed my duck segment for this.
Oh, well, don't worry. We'll get to the next Brock Bowers. You calm down over there, buddy. I'm fired up about this one first. But I think we do this in the NBA, where some guys are held to a certain standard and other guys are not. And I think this is true of, like, nationally speaking, I think most guys are. But I think locally, Herbert is such a hot topic issue, because if you're not a Duck fan, you're probably like, stop talking about him. If you are a Duck fan, you defend him till the death, because he's a local guy that's finally a good NFL quarterback. Yeah, and we've been waiting our entire lives to see a good NFL quarterback from Oregon.
No doubt.
And so you prop him up or you knock him down, and we hold him to a certain standard locally more so than we do any other quarterback whenever his name is brought up, because it gets texted in constantly. Herbert's never won a playoff game. It has never once been texted into this show that Tua's never won a playoff game.
Well, but I don't think, well, he's only played one, by the way. He's not 0-2.
Shouldn't that
he
be a
missed
part
the
of
first
it?
One. Skylar
he got
Thompson
hurt.
Played.
He was hurt because injuries are a part of this, are they not?
Well, but I think
one hit away from never being in the NFL again.
100%. He contemplated retirement
after
that year where he seizured on the field.
16 months ago.
But I think when you get paid and then you look as bad as they looked in the playoffs in Kansas City, like, go look at the road to the Super Bowl for a Miami Dolphin team if they're not hosting Kansas City, a Cincinnati. A Buffalo, like, you start naming off the cities, cold weather, and, like, we saw him play.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just him. Again, wins are not a quarterback stat, but God, was that offense atrocious in Kansas City. And look, we shouldn't have been playing football in that weather. Quite literally, humans lost fingers in that weather.
Toughen up.
But
what happened to America?
They can't function in cold weather, seems to kind of be the deal with Miami. So there's definitely, I think this year, going to be a lot of pressure on Tua now that he got that contract.
Yeah.
They just reworked and extended Tyreek Hill. They just signed Jalen Waddle. He's got weapons for at least 2 more years. There's no excuse there. The run game seems to always be pretty consistent. if the defense takes a step, there's definitely pressure on Tua. Now, will they win anything? I mean, nobody's winning anything but Mahomes right now.
He's the only one. And whose division is he in?
Who?
Yeah. Whose division is Mahomes in?
Oh, he's in Herbert's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
But he also has the Raiders and the Broncos, who the Broncos haven't done anything since they won the Super Bowl.
That is very true.
And the Raiders are Raiders are doing.
One of the worst in the NFL.
Gardner Minshew, yeah.
Well, they have Wilkins.
Is he in Vegas now? Yeah. Minshew Magic is?
Minshew Magic.
Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. Yeah. I don't know who the hell's going to start, but there you go.
They've got Crosby and Wilkins on the D-line. Like, it's a formidable defense.
Yeah,
but
he was damn near in the playoffs last year, Minshew Magic was.
Stop. The Minshew Magic thing, like, his numbers were
Well,
crap.
This is my other
he
point. This is my other point, and I think all of these things can apply. And you can label this green and yellow glasses all you want.
Sure.
Playoff wins matter greatly for NFL quarterbacks.
They add to a legacy for sure.
Whether
yes.
it is fair or not, that is what it takes, right? C.J. Stroud is put into conversations that he is put into right now because he won a playoff game last year, and his rookie numbers were very good. C.J. Stroud was awesome last year, and nobody saw that coming. They made the playoffs because they were in one of the worst divisions in football. If you put them in the AFC West, they're not a playoff team last year at 9-8. I know. You could do. I know. But I'm just saying these things apply.
Yeah.
So you then win the division, you get a home playoff game, and you play Joe Flacco, and that props up his status as an NFL quarterback.
But we didn't. Yeah, but we thought they were the worst team in that division into the year.
I know, and that's why it was incredible.
And Jacksonville choked away a lead.
That's why it's incredible what he accomplished. And I'm not truly trying to say this as a way to knock him down. I'm just saying that there are different circumstances that quarterbacks have to go through. And if Herbert was able to win a division at 9-8 and host a playoff game, he might have a playoff win right now, and maybe the conversation is different about him. He happens to be in a division mm-hmm. with the best team in the NFL and the best quarterback in the NFL, and it's going to be a really tough uphill putt to win the AFC West and host a playoff game.
It's not even the division, though, I think, with him, Dirt. He quite literally had a 20-plus lead in the playoffs.
They blew it.
They lost.
They blew it.
Their offense completely disappeared, and their defense gave away a huge lead.
They blew a 27-point lead in a playoff game.
And I hate to tell you this, but like with the injury stuff last year, and I know it happened kind of late in the year, paired with that, that's kind of how I think players are just viewing this stuff in a vacuum.
It's a good thing he's not in a walking boot right now, and there's nothing to be concerned about.
Oh, yeah. Plantar fascia.
And his wide receiver room is loaded. Lad McConkey.
It's plantar fascia.
Yeah.
Get it right.
Drop your itis.
You idiot.
Drop your itis. Get with the program.
Get rid of
I didn't know that
itis.
Was such a hot button thing on Friday. We talked about that. That pissed a lot of people off. Not knowing fascia or fasciitis. Yeah. Russ came in here yelling at me. How do you not know that?
I go, Rust, are you a doctor? He goes, well, no, but, and I go, when did you learn this? Well, I had to learn it last, like, 3 weeks ago. And I went, so you're pissed off about something you learned 3 weeks ago.
Something that you just learned that you are now mad at the rest of the world about for not knowing, and you're acting like you've known it for your entire
sound
life.
Sound like a Joe Good. Rogan vaccine expert. I listened to the RFK pod, man.
I saw one podcast.
I go, okay, thank you.
I got the answers to the test now.
Can I try to make this point really quickly?
What do you got,
Schultzy?
Jump on in.
Justin Herbert. Not a great team that he's got looking forward on the Chargers, at least weapons-wise, running backs, wide receivers. I don't know. I look at the situation in Miami.
He just got Harbaugh.
I'm not.
That's a great move.
He got a coach that a lot of teams wanted.
No.
Finally has a head coach.
Yes.
He's never had, can we agree, he's never had that in 5 years?
Yeah, he got Mike McDaniels down in Miami, too. Freaking genius, right? And he's got really great wide receivers in Waddle and Hill, and they picked Raheem Mostert off the scrap heap. Mm-hmm. And what did he do? Lead the league in touchdowns last year. Tua, in my opinion, I made this point while you guys were gone last week, I think that the offense elevated him to get the numbers that he had. And if I had to say, oh, put Justin Herbert on Miami's offense or Tua on Miami's offense, I think Justin Herbert would throw for 1,500 more yards than he already did. He just hasn't had what Miami's had. And kind of, I sound like a Ducks homer, but it throws a wrench in the conversation
to
me.
I think you guys need to stop saying, I sound like you are, and
that's okay.
That's okay to like Herbert and be rooting for him more than other people. What I would say, and be cautious here, is you can play this game all day. How many quarterbacks, if they would have got Andy Reid rookie year, would have won, and like, okay, but you're still in a way knocking the player. He had Brian Flores year one. How did that go? We thought that dude was a bust, and then he got the right guy. They got serious as a franchise, and they surrounded him with weapons. We don't need to take any away from Tua. By the way, how does Miami look when Tua doesn't play? They don't look like that.
Damn near beat the Bills in a playoff game.
No, they didn't. So I just...
Skylar Thompson.
I think it's one thing to say, like, Herbert would be this in this system with this team. Well, he's not, and he's not gonna be. So, like, what's the point of that? It's just, in a way, it's a way to prop up Herbert and knock a player. Would I take Herbert over Tua? Probably. Because again, I'm worried that Tua suffers one more concussion. His life is in jeopardy. This guy's been concussed to a seizure on the field.
Yes.
But I don't need to also be like, well, if he had this, he doesn't. And it sucks. This is what the NFL is, man. You have to kind of sometimes rise above it. And I think he can with Harbaugh. I think he's had a good career considering what's been around him and given to him. But we have to kind of just evaluate this year to year, and circumstances be damned. It's unfortunate. How many careers have been broken by bad circumstance? I don't hear you making arguments for those guys. If they were in the right system, happens all the time. That's the NFL.
If only Joey didn't get drafted by the Lions, man. You never know. Yeah, I mean, what could have happened?
He's talked about it with Isaac Atsu. Confidence is a huge thing there. And when you lose it or you question it, it's hard to ever get back to that place. Is Brock Purdy this if he's not drafted last by the Niners?
No.
Probably not.
No. I was only trying to say that Justin Herbert can make more lemonade out of lemons than Tua, in my opinion. Yeah. But I am being a homer.
I think we should get Emmanuel Acho on the phone.
Oh, I think it'd be the worst possible thing. It's already hard enough.
What do you think, Emmanuel? Come on, jump on in here.
Let's embrace debate on a Monday. Duck quarterback debates.
Start yelling.
Let's get to, we'll push Michigan. Turns out, breaking news, they are massive cheaters. Shocking.
What?
Should Ken Barkley have to send me back a care package?
How long until the Huskies claim a national championship out of this? Now you got a whole one. Congratulations,
there you
Huskies.
Go. We did it.
You got one you didn't win and one you didn't actually play in. So congratulations. You
cheat
get one.
Bastards in total Ann Arbor. One. We'll talk with Bill Seals as we kick off Dirty Poll Daily Tickers here. Iowa State's number 25 coming up next. Does Oregon have this in their arsenal? Next on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Say what you want. Hold whatever opinion you have. Feels good to debate that stuff. I do love that.
That's good, man. It's good to get the blood pumping on August 5th. Football's almost here.
I might hold something for tomorrow's show.
Bring gas.
On a quarterback that was very disrespected on that list and how he's not being talked about a whole lot. So I may hold that for tomorrow. We'll go to Iowa State. They're number 25 on your dirty poll.
Yes, they are.
They're the dirtiest team out there.
The Cyclones are ready to make a run in the Big 12, and I think they have one of the most underrated players in the entire country.
Really?
There's a hot take for you right there.
Bill Seals covers Iowa State football, so he'll join us coming up for the Daily Ticker. Who is number 24?
It's a great name, by the way.
Bill Seals.
Bill Seals. Yeah, I love it.
Fantastic.
Number 24. How do you not know who number 24 is? It's SMU.
Oh, SMU's interesting, too.
We're going to SMU.
ACC.
Well, they're now in a Power 5 conference. They have an easy schedule. They have a quarterback that's returning after winning 10 games.
Well, I think they won 11.
11 with a bowl game, potentially. Yeah. So SMU's feeling good.
Oregon's feeling good right now. Fall camp's happening. I loved that Dan Lanning basically said absolutely nothing after practice the other day.
Oh, it's great to have those back, isn't it?
Just to give you nothing of what happened in practice.
We're going to go watch the film.
However, Will Stein is not Dan Lanning. And Will Stein was talking. He talked a lot. He didn't just mention one player. He talked about how good Jordan James has been, how fast he is at 200 pounds, how excited they are to have him now as the premier back. He mentioned a player here, Kenyon Sadiq, who is coming in with high expectation. Here was Will Stein's thoughts on how good he's been in camp and who he kind of reminds him of.
We want to get him the ball as many ways as we can. And early in camp, we're really just trying to reinstall our base offense. But as we get closer to game weeks, he's a guy that we want a personnel-specific plays for. There's been different guys across the country over the years that have been unique like him. You know, I think about the kid that just got drafted from Georgia that is with the Raiders now. Like, I'm not saying Kenyon is Brock Bowers, okay? He's not there yet, but he has all the skills to be a player similar to him in terms of true tight end play, out of the backfield, flexed. So excited about where he's going. And, I mean, he's had a great summer, great spring.
The worst thing with comps when you say a name is instantly it's like, oh. And what I think Will Stein would try to say there is like, it just stylistically sometimes looks like it, though also cited as soon as he said the name. He's not there yet. He's not at that level. But you say the name Brock Bowers, and you're talking about one of the best tight ends in college football easily in the last decade, just drafted by the Raiders.
Yeah.
Kenyon Sadiq expecting monster things from him in the offense, which is interesting because we've talked about their offensive line. They're filling in some spots, right? Dylan Gabriel, Jordan James is the premier back now, Stewart, Tez, Ferguson, we interviewed at Big Ten Media Day.
Yeah.
Kenyon Sadiq, not a name mentioned very much, and now Will Stein's like, we might have Brock Bowers, and everybody's alert. Horns are going off.
Siren, like we were interviewing Greif, we're getting those French sirens in our background. Like, wait a minute, did you just say that? You just compared him to Brock Bowers? I found this fascinating because to come out with praise for a young player is not rare for a head coach. Come on, he's playing great, he's progressing, he's looking good in camp. Like, you're going to hear that about so many guys at so many different camps, and the praise is going to be all over the place. To put a name with it, and not just any name, not like, hey, I think he could be a Terrence Ferguson, or hey, he could be a Patrick Herbert for this offense. He says, no, he could be one of the best tight ends we've seen in college football over the last 10, 15 years, because outside of Kyle Pitts and him, how many other tight ends have been top 10 draft picks, right? It just doesn't happen very often. And he was just a top 10 pick to the Raiders, as you point out. So to put that level of expectation and hype on this kid is bananas, but I think you're only doing it if you have that much faith in him. Like, you're only coming out with this strong of a statement and putting this much expectation on his shoulders if you feel like he can live up to it. He wasn't the only one. Terrence Ferguson, the number one tight end in that room, who was likely going to break all of their tight end receiving records this year in program history, was doing an interview. I think Zach Neal had this of Ducks Wire, and he asked Terrence Ferguson about Kenyon Sadiq, and he said he can be the best tight end in Oregon history. So there's just incredible buzz.
It's quite a compliment, man.
It's building around this kid. And I remember hearing things Bags last fall when he showed up on campus. It was like, man, this kid's kind of special. He is from Idaho.
Idaho Falls.
And he was an elite high school athlete. But I think when you get a kid from Idaho, there's the question of, are you truly elite or are you like Idaho elite? Like, are you dominating kids because you're playing against guys like me because you're from Idaho? You're not from Dallas or L.A. or Miami. And will it translate? But something that Lanning has always preached in recruiting is that if you're good enough, you're old enough. And Kenyon Sadiq was an example of that, where he didn't catch 30 balls last year.
Five catches, one tutty.
Not a ton, but he played in every game. He did not redshirt. He was a special teams guy on a bunch of different units. They used him in a bunch of different ways. And I think that's what's exciting about, you know, all of these weapons in the offensive room that they have, is that you have Terrence Ferguson, who's back. You have Patrick Herbert, who's back at tight end. But then you have Kenyon Sadiq, who, are you going to use him with one of those two? Or are you going to use three tight end sets? Are you going to flex him out wide? Are you going to use him in the slot? They gave him a couple of fly sweeps last year and tried to give him different looks.
Did all of that,
and that's
Georgia.
Where I think Kenyon Sadiq can maybe be this Swiss Army knife, where Ferguson and Herbert are true tight ends.
Right.
Sadiq is more of kind of an athlete that you can move all over
Jimmy
the field.
Jimmy Graham kind of Brock Bowers Jimmy Graham, type of
man.
Deal, right?
It's exciting. And it's another example of all the young guys that are on this roster that Lanning has recruited that are just now starting to kind of poke their head out and like, oh, that's right, I remember when they signed that guy, now he's ready to have an impact.
We'll go to the Daily Ticker here. I think Lanning has a great relationship with people on his staff. Is there any element that when Stein got back and this started circulating,
dude, really?
Dan brings him in and goes, Will,
come on, man.
You had to say that name?
Of like, all the names?
You couldn't just cop him to Terrence? Terrence is a great player. Why are we going Brock Bowers?
You go George Reitster, you know?
And do you think Will was like, yeah, Dan, sorry, man. I just, you know, we had our notes. We talked about this. I know, off the record.
Good comparison for Duck fans back in the day, Dante Rosario. I think he started off as like a halfback, then moved to fullback, then moved to tight end as the Ducks were shifting to the spread. And he played every position so well. Caught passes, blocked. I mean, he was a Swiss Army knife for the Ducks. Obviously, Sadiq on a whole nother level, but Ducks have had a few players like this before.
Our first noteworthy thing from fall camp so far.
We got a quote, man.
We got a quote from an OC guy might be Brock Bowers.
Something we can actually take from a press conference and talk about. Not, I got to watch the film and everybody worked hard and conditioning needs to get better.
Michigan is a bunch of cheaters. Breaking news. I don't know if you guys knew that. We'll talk about that coming up. But up next is the Daily Ticker. We go to Iowa State, Ames, Iowa, where the Cyclones are number 25 in Dirt's Dirty Poll Top 25 season preview countdown. Bill Seals joins us coming up next with the Daily Ticker.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit with the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Be ready for your next afternoon vacation with Beak Breaker Tropical. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on a Monday, brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Visit pelicanbrewing.com for more details on locations, events, award-winning beers, independently brewed since 1996. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. For those of you new to the program, we do something every August that we call the Dirty Poll. And we preview, according to me, the top 25 teams in college football this year. And it officially begins today. Even though we don't have 25 shows, we're going to have to jam two teams into one show. We'll figure it out as we get a little bit closer.
Everybody loves a good jams for
you. You got to jam a couple of things in there. We're going to do it, as in the next couple of weeks. But we start today, number 25, and we go to Ames, Iowa, to preview the Iowa State Cyclones. Joining us now, Bill Seals, the publisher of Cyclones Report on the Rivals Network, at William Seals on Twitter. Bill, good morning to you, man. As we preview Iowa State, I'm curious with the opener for you, 25. Fair, too low, too high? How do you feel about my ranking of the Cyclones?
Hey, I'm just happy to see the Cyclones getting some love out there in the northwestern part of the country. Usually, you know, the Cyclones don't get too much love out there, but it's nice to see that. And then you having a good reason to bring me on the show this morning.
Yeah. Well, hey, we respect college football. We like to watch all the power conferences here. Dirt does a really good job of digging in. You guys got a lot of talent returning this year in the Big 12. So it shouldn't be too much of a surprise to you that we've noticed that Iowa State, in a very interesting conference, should be one to be looked at going into the season.
Yeah, certainly, and without Oklahoma, without Texas, and then adding in the likes of Utah, Arizona, Colorado, the Arizona State, I think there's a lot more parity in the Big 12 this year, and everybody all the head coaches will tell you that. And even at Big 12 Media Days that I covered out in Las Vegas last month, that kind of that parity word was thrown around quite a bit. And I think the Cyclones are certainly one of those teams that has to be looked at as a favorite, a contender to get down to Dallas for the conference championship game in December. I think experience, depending on how you chop it up, Iowa State, one of the top one or two returning teams in the country as far as snaps and production coming back. And a lot of those are skill position guys, too, certainly on the offensive side of the ball with Rocco Becht coming back. You've got a legit starting quarterback. You know, kind of the thing is these days, I had a lot of offers in the offseason. NIL or pay to play, however you want to say that, had offers to go elsewhere. Stayed at Iowa State. He's got his top two receivers are back. His leading rusher, Abu Sama from a year ago, he's back. And all five guys with starting experience on the offensive line are back as well. So certainly has the makings of a great unit on offense. And then you flip over even to defense and a lot of experience there as well. They were really young there last season. I felt that offense had been really good and maybe took a step back, weren't the same rushing the quarterback. But a lot of those guys have gotten older now, and I just think experience on both sides of the ball is kind of what put Iowa State at number 25 on your poll.
There are a lot of guys back. You mentioned Rocco Becht. I mean, him coming, I don't know if it was out of nowhere, but at least for us maybe it was a little bit, maybe not for you out there in Ames. I mean, he was a Big 12 Freshman of the Year last year. He broke school records, I believe, for like completions, yards, touchdowns. And you go, I remember Brock Purdy being there and you guys beating Oregon in the Fiesta Bowl with that, you know, senior laden team a handful of years back.
Yeah, Purdy and Breece Hall, right?
And Breece Hall. I mean, that was a loaded team. And so he kind of reset for a little bit. Did Rocco Becht come out of nowhere, and how good can this kid be?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how many waves this caused out in Oregon, but Iowa State kind of got caught up in that gambling scandal or whatever you would want to call it, where some guys got popped for gambling.
That's right.
And well, one of those that got caught up in that was Hunter Deckers, the starting quarterback the year prior. So really, Rocco had gone in. He had gotten some time as a true freshman, kept the red shirt on, you know, played under the 4-game limit. And, you know, all signs were pointing that he was going to still be the backup to Deckers going into last season. And then even in spring ball, Deckers was around for spring ball. So they come out of spring ball, and that's kind of when all that news broke. And Becht kind of had to get ready to be a starting quarterback in the Big 12. In a matter of 2 or 3 months. So they get off to the slow start last season, 1-2, and they really didn't, they were very conservative offensively, you know, more so maybe than we saw even with Deckers or the years that Brock Purdy was around. They were able to kind of turn those guys loose right away. Well, they were very conservative, and I mentioned kind of the issues that they had on the defensive side of the ball. Well, they had a slow start last season, and then with Rocco back now having that year under his belt, full off season knowing he's the starter, I think that this is going to be an Iowa State team that starts much faster with Rocco around.
Yeah, kind of a two-parter for you, Bill. One, a name that I think a lot of people will become more familiar with, I know I was in reading about Iowa State this weekend, is Bo Frehler, who had an incredible year for them defensively. He is back. He's one of their 8 starters returning from last year's team. I'm curious how big you think that name gets for them within the Big 12. And then also the D coordinator has been with Campbell for 8 years. And it's not in college football now to have a coordinator be with a head coach for that long. Just how kind of underrated that is to developing talent and being able to have highs of Purdy, Breece Hall, and then like you kind of have to restart it at places like Iowa State and develop guys for a couple of years before you can have that trajectory going back up.
Well, it's kind of funny. I think it's a great luxury. Whenever you have the Iowa guy on here, or whenever that's going to be, they've had their same defensive coordinator for several years as well. So it's a nice luxury for both of the Power Four in-state teams here, and certainly with John Haycock, he has great experience. He had worked with Campbell at Toledo before he came with him to Ames. He's also been a head coach at the, well, I guess now it's the FCS level, but he was at Youngstown State, and that was 1AA, I think, back when John was there. So he's been around, and I think Iowa State sounds like that's going to be the last stop for him, and he's had offers to go elsewhere, you know, maybe for 2 or 3 more years and close things out, but I think he wants to stay in Ames. And, you know, Iowa State, they were the first or one of the first teams to run that 3-3-5 defense, and that was kind of to counter the air raid or the pass-heavy teams of the Big 12 when they first got to Iowa State. And now they're talking maybe a little more four-man front or going into like a 4-2-5. So they're getting, I think, a lot more multiple. They were multiple to an extent last season, but I think this year with so much experience at that defensive line, they're going to be able to trot out those four-man fronts a lot more. And that's also not going to be, you know, to where they have to take a safety off the field necessarily. They're going to take a linebacker off the field. But with that safety depth, you mentioned Bo Frehler, and they've got Jeremiah Cooper back there at safety as well, Malik Verdon, and just so much experience. And with the injuries that they had last season too, Frehler was the only one of those guys that played all 13 games, and Cooper sat out a couple games. Verdon had a season-ending injury, so they could go definitely will go a legit 2 deep at safety, and they're going to feel good about a couple guys in the 3 deep there as well, just with everyone that got playing time that's now back. But certainly Frehler, as you mentioned, he leads the way and is going to be one of the top players again in the conference in 2024.
Don't you worry, Bill. There's only one school from Iowa in our preseason top 25. I need to see the Hawkeyes score an offensive touchdown before I give them top
upset, Bill?
25 respect. Okay, complete a forward pass, and then you can be ranked.
Right. You know that never comes up on our message board either. No, never.
We're anti punts here, I guess.
Anti punts around here. I love it. It was funny to joke at the beginning of paying attention to Iowa State out in the Northwest. I have always had an affinity for Iowa State going back. I don't know if you're this way as a kid where you watch a team or you see a player on TV and you're like, man, that guy looks cool, or that team looks cool. I'll never forget watching Seneca Wallace and thinking, man, that guy is badass. He is running all over the place making crazy plays. So I've been an Iowa State fan from far for a long time. Bill Seals, previewing the Cyclones, number 25 in the Dirty Poll, at William Seals on Twitter, publisher of Cyclone Report. Thanks so much for the time in Portland, man. We really appreciate it.
Hey, appreciate you guys having me on. It was great talking Cyclones up there in Portland.
There you go. Good stuff from Bill Seals talking Iowa State football.
Great stuff from him. Very informative. I think Iowa State is kind of one of those.
They got a lot of talent back from last year's
team. Kind of a tier two, I think, in most people's minds to win the conference, but they very well could be in tier one with the amount of talent returning offensively and defensively. And Campbell's a great coach. Like, don't let a year or two cloud your view of Matt Campbell. Iowa State's much like a lot of programs, they have to rebuild and restock the shelves and let guys develop and go through their lumps.
He built up to that Fiesta Bowl team, and he's had to rebuild it since.
I'm stunned. You don't have Iowa in the
top
20.
Scoring offense, what are you going to go, 7-5 this year in a tougher conference? Get out of here.
Okay. That's shocking to me to not have Iowa in the top. I'm not Mr. Iowa.
Hey,
I'll wear the punt sweatshirt.
We'll find out at the end of the year who's in the top 25. All right. When Iowa scores 20 points, they can get ranked. Until then, they're outside the top 25.
I don't know if they did that last year and they were.
What are they, 8-4? How many quality wins did they have? Get the hell out of here.
Who did they beat last year?
Yeah, because divisions existed and they don't exist anymore. Let's place a wager, okay? I would love to play. So you want a hot take on
Iowa
football?
I don't like Kirk Ferentz, but damn it, dude. He at least like is 9-3.
Will Iowa play in a Big Ten championship game in the next decade?
Well, no, the divisions have changed.
Oh, okay, so they won't be there.
Well, if you took divisions away, they wouldn't have been in it last year.
They wouldn't have been in it hardly ever.
Right.
So that's the reason they were in the Big Ten title game, and that rule doesn't exist anymore.
To not think they're top 25?
Not top 25. Maybe top 30.
8-4?
Also receiving votes, Iowa Hawkeyes.
Okay.
Not receiving
votes.
That's
a hot take. I didn't know you didn't have Iowa in your
top 30. Is that hotter than my Justin Herbert take today? What's hotter, my Iowa take or my Herbert take?
Ooh. Iowa not in the top 25 preseason is kind of a hot take. You don't have to like them or their style of play. But.
I want to pull up. I need to make sure they don't have a big non-conference game early that they win and makes me look like an idiot, like right out of the gate.
When does Iowa ever have a big non-conference
Well, they play game? Iowa State early in the season, so, okay, so joke they, will be on me if they beat Iowa State.
It'd be hilarious if they beat Iowa State. That would be pretty Rocco funny. Throws two picks.
They win
they
that
game.
They
pin them at the two and get a safety.
Oh, get out of here with this non-conference schedule. So they get Iowa State. They get them at home. Lucky Hawkeyes getting them. Don't have to go to Ames, travel to Cyclone territory.
Who do you guys have in non-conference?
Tough teams. Oregon State. We play Oregon State in non-conference.
Are they in your top 25?
Yeah. Wait and see. Wait and find out.
I don't think they are because you got to 21.
And they play Illinois State and Troy. Get out of here, Hawkeyes. That's a 2-1 non-conference with a loss to the Cyclones.
I think I'm right if they beat the Cyclones.
At Ohio State, home against Washington, at UCLA. I shouldn't use UCLA as an example.
No, but I think you lose this argument if they beat Iowa State.
I lose the argument.
You lose the argument. Yeah.
Lot riding on the line in Ames, there Iowa. Is, yeah. Or no, not in Ames, Iowa. Where is Iowa?
They're in...
Do you know the town? What's the town?
I should know the town.
What's the town? We should know the town.
Ames and...
When somebody says it, I'm going to be like...
Yes, that's
Iowa
it.
City. Iowa City. Thank you. A lot on the line.
How did we forget that?
Exactly, yeah.
Bo Frehler. Keep an eye on that. He was their leading tackler last year. He's kind of a do-it-all guy for them defensively. It could potentially have a huge year in the Big 12.
I will also shout out, he mentioned it there, so I didn't ask about him. Abu Sama, their running back, I think is one of the most underrated players.
And he was a true freshman last year.
True freshman. Yeah. If you're playing NCAA football and you kick up Iowa State,
yes.
Run Sama, dude. That guy's a stud.
Their white unis, some of the sickest white, clean uniform look in all of college football.
Underrated. They got a black combo, too.
Dope name, too.
You got the red, the Cyclones.
Cyclones,
cool
yeah.
color combo, red and yellow. How do you not? Seneca Wallace, how do you not like Iowa State football? Come on. All right, let's stick in college football with a story that probably isn't true, but let's bring it up anyways. That's next on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Spray crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, with memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com. We'll get to the cheating bastards coming up at the top of the hour. Let's get to this, though. So I stumbled across this. It's one of those, like, this is too good to be true because it's red meat for me and a lot of other people who are like-minded. But it just doesn't seem like it's, like, really, could this possibly be the case? There was a story that came out. I don't know how do we power rank our preseason college football publications? Does Athlon reach your top three? Are they in the mix at all? Are you just a Phil Steele guy? Do you wait for the SI covers?
I'll be really honest. Well, Phil Steele, a good friend of the program. We haven't had him on in a couple of years, but a good friend of the program is number one.
Yeah, he's number one for you?
Probably Pick Six Previews.
Okay.
A very, very close number two.
One and two.
And I say that largely because I haven't purchased a Pick Six Preview from Brett Ciancia.
But we've had him on the show.
He's a good dude. I don't ever visit Athlon.
You never go to Athlon.com?
I'm not interested in all their rankings. No. That's largely how I associate them as just like...
top 10 linebacker units.
Yeah, the top 10 this, the top 10 that. And I always look at the writer, I'm like, I've never heard of this writer ever. And look, it's not that you can't earn some trust, but like, yeah. I never see the writer again. And so no, I don't have them in my ranking.
Poo-poo and Athlon? Are you a big reader of Athlon over there, Schulte?
No, you're kind of reminding me of like Rivals.com. Yeah. Like this is we're going back, aren't we, with Athlon?
Is Athlon back in the day? Is that Athlon now?
A little bit. I remember reading Athlon when I was like early 20s, but
used to get the magazine, yeah.
And once again, when Rivals.
Preseason magazine.
Oh.
I used to buy like all of them. You get like all five or however many there were that came out. And Athlon was always one of the preseason magazines that would come out. And you'd have your rankings and where's my team? And you'd go through the whole thing.
Bothered.
Well, they came out with a take, Athlon Sports did, over the weekend, some reporting on what's going on in Boulder. And it was not pretty. Again, take this with a grain of salt, but basically saying that Deion is not fostering personal development amongst his players, and he is taking a different approach from most coaches. He's desiring ready-made players who can deliver immediate results. That's not a surprise, but it says the approach has its flaws, and the foundation of Coach Prime's Camelot is starting to show cracks. And he goes on, the article goes on to talk about different altercations and issues that have happened with different players, saying Primetime for the CU staff, is what they're calling it, reveals the true nature of the culture inside the Buffaloes program. Some one former player said it's a real-life Grand Theft Auto. There are many distractions with fights, guns, money floating around. The environment is unlike any I've ever come from. Another former player went deeper into the violent incident, saying there were three separate alleged occurrences over the last year, each unfathomable in normal locker room settings, one of them dealing with Cormani McClain, who has since transferred, saying he was taking a lot of heat from everybody. At the same time, Coach Prime was saying he was in the doghouse and needed to improve. He was getting bullied by Shiloh Sanders. After the Oregon State game, your Beavers did this to them. According to this article, Shiloh slapped him several times in the locker room, which left Cormani screaming, "I'm going to kill you." And after that, you could tell he wasn't mentally there. It's hard when your coaches you trust are calling you derogatory names on the practice field. There's another one about a fight with a new offensive lineman, another offensive lineman, a coach's son, all that. Some people have thrown cold water on this. I highly doubt that all of this is true. Seems like an axe to grind, but nonetheless, when you get a headline like this in August, probably not the best thing.
I'll react to this article when I see an actual beat person write an article like this, or a columnist at a local scribe paper. I've never heard of this writer. There's a couple of anonymous quotes.
Former players,
yeah, like, we didn't watch Dion kind of make them probably feel awful by not being selected to be on a Dion team. Look,
they were not the Louis. They were not Louis.
You're not breaking any news saying he's doing this differently, that he's maybe not developing younger players, that he's just trying to bring the ready now made player in. We all already know that. Their high school recruiting rank, I think they're the worst in the Big 12. Or they're near the bottom. Like, they're not a very good recruiter in high school. We've seen all the quotes from Dion. I'm not giving this much, if any, legs at all. A fight happened. Yeah, fights happen.
In every locker room.
I just...
Sketchy stuff happens in every locker room.
When I see more credible reporters talk about this, yeah, I will give it its due. I'm not diving in. There's also people that are Colorado fans, and I've seen some non-Colorado fans basically saying the timeline of some of these things do not line up exactly.
Whoops.
I don't know.
Get your facts straight when you're writing a fake article.
There's a little bit of that to that for me until I see somebody
else. I will say that if there is a beat reporter that's coming out with, like, some trouble in the locker room, I think that is a concern when you've got, like, a dad and then his two, you know, star sons are the best players on the team. If there's some bullying going on, it's just not the best vibe for a locker room if you want to win, you know? But, let's hear from the ground first before we start to...
Yeah, there was a clip that went viral from their practice the other day. It was him talking to the team prior to practice, and he was basically like, "Don't touch quarterbacks, don't touch the wide receivers, and leave Travis alone." And then one player kind of moan and groan in the background. And he was like, "When you go to the next level, these guys are making $250 million. You can't touch them then. You think you can touch them now?" And that was like his equivalency. So he definitely plays favorites with certain guys, and I understand it. Travis Hunter is maybe the best player in all of college football, and you don't want him getting hurt. They were a different team when he got hurt last year, but to say that it's to the level of guys getting beat up in the locker room or slapped, that's a pretty serious allegation. To your recruiting note, they had the 15th ranked class in the Big 12 last year. Only Arizona was worse in high school recruiting.
Arizona? Oh, they must have lost some of them.
They lost Jedfish. They lost a lot of some of those kids ended up going
to
Washington.
Okay, so, like, outside of the caveat, they're the worst.
Of a coach that left a program, they were the worst.
I mean,
and that's with a five-star recruit, too, because Jordan Seaton is also in this, by the way, who was their five-star offensive lineman. It said that when he showed up in spring, they challenged his manhood, and he had to get in a fist fight with somebody in the locker room after practice.
And has that been reported anywhere else?
No, it is not. No, it is not.
I just think there's a danger in going off of these kinds of articles. It's not been backed up by any person of note. And, like, anybody can start the article with the obvious. Dion's running things differently.
Yes.
Not like most pro. Like, yeah, I already knew that, and I don't cover the team.
He wants win now players. I think you got your prime sweatshirt on over there. I think you got your prime glasses on.
I still have the prime
this
sweatshirt. I do. I almost bought a Colorado hat at a thrift store.
Did you really?
Well, just because it was an older one.
I like the logo. It's a good logo.
It was an old school logo. But, look, a lot of us don't like Colorado, and they think this is going to fall and fail in complete, you know, flames, and there might be a lot of validity to that, but...
You give me a week one loss at North Dakota State, ooh, boy.
I'm not gonna follow an Athlon article.
I had a full-body boner for 2 weeks.
As if it's gospel.
North Dakota State, Nebraska, 0-2 start. Ooh,
two obvious programs I think a lot of America are rooting for in weird ways are Dion and Lincoln Riley. Yeah. I just, like, those are two teams I'm circling, like...
Feels like most of America wants these things to not succeed.
Actively rooting for them to lose. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. As we're almost there, the Michigan cheating bastards, they got caught. And so evidently they were not the victim the entire time. We got some other football notes to get to. An Olympics update. It's a loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.